Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 10, Commander Dick Cheney and Reagan's Hands-on 1001 ND Control Demonstrations. Please note, in order to maintain the integrity of documenting my experiences using precise and photographic detail, I have recorded events and quotes as they occurred in reality. Please excuse any offensive and foul language, but this is the way Cheney presented himself. I was attending another White House cocktail party where, as usual, I was taken aside for a meeting and escorted to a large office. There, Reagan and Cheney were having their, before cocktail party, cognacs, and Reagan's cheeks were already flushed. He was in a hurry and quickly explained the purpose of the meeting. "You're the kind of girl who could hold a man in line." He was cryptically referring to the lines of military personnel I was forced to have sex with. "That's why I've selected you to tour a few Air Force bases with the Colonel, Aquino, and demonstrate for our boys in the service what a presidential model is trained for, a kind of hands-on demonstration. But you'll have to audition for the role." Reagan drained his glass and gestured toward Cheney as he strode for the door, adding, "Do what he says. He's your commander." It had been 8 years since I had been hunted and brutalized by Cheney in Wyoming, and apparently he wanted to see how my programming had progressed before agreeing to use me in Reagan's hands-on mind control demonstrations. He grabbed me roughly by the hair and slung me onto a black leather chair, tipping my head backwards over the high studded arm. "Audition here," he snarled. Since I last saw him, I had undergone Wizard of Ounce Tin Man programming, which he accessed to accommodate his large, thick penis. He placed his hands on my jaw while he said, "Soon we'll have you purring like a well-oiled machine. All of your moving parts are pivotal and gliding with ease. Melt into my hands. I'll hold your jaw to keep it from slipping while you slip through a window in lime." He then jerked my jaw out of joint, and roughly gratified himself in my throat. 1. As he lit his cigarette, I slowly regained focus enough to realize I was in pain. The back of my head hurt from being thrust into the studs on the chair, and I slowly lifted my head. My owner, Senator Byrd, had just walked in and realized Cheney had already completed the audition. Referring to compartmentalizing my memory via stun gun high voltage, Byrd asked, "Did you fry her?" Cheney, cocksure of himself as always, answered, "She can't have fucked all of Washington," indicating that no one would believe me anyway, even if I did reach this point and talk. Cheney put out his cigarette and said as he went out the door, "She'll work. Tell Ronnie she'll work." When Byrd saw that my lips were bleeding, he called Cheney a son of a bitch under his breath, as this damage would prevent my fulfilling other assignments that were planned for me. Byrd touched his finger to my swollen lips and tasted the blood, and Cheney, several times. Then he slapped me hard across the face, which realigned my jaw but caused more blood to flow down my chin. He took a box of tissues from the desk and threw it at me, the corner hitting me in the forehead. "Wipe yourself up. You're just getting started. I'll see to it you get what you've got coming to you." Fortunately for me, Byrd had cause to return to the formal cocktail party and did not have time to brutalize me further. My face was battered, mouth torn, and my throat felt torn and stretched. I had difficulty swallowing for some time, and could not speak. I certainly was in no condition to return to the cocktail party, and was escorted out by agents/guards. Before I could leave Washington, Byrd made good on his threat and arranged for me to meet with Cheney in a blue bedroom in a part of the White House so remote that no one could hear my screams and moans. But Cheney implemented Ounce theme silence conditioning anyway as he proceeded to brutally sexually assault me. "Byrd tells me you need a good whipping. But I'm not certain which instrument you prefer, so I brought them all." Cheney had a riding crop, a whip, and a cat o' nine tails laid out on the bed. He beat me quick and hard as though he were releasing his tensions rather than savoring my pain like Bird did. I regained consciousness when Shaney slid a pillow under my neck, steered me by the hair, and bent my head back. Survival instinct kicked in when he positioned himself above my head. I hoped to satisfy him before he became deadly brutal again. But he quickly pulled out his liquid cocaine sprayer, sprayed my throat, then proceeded to get rough. At one point he yanked my head aside and asked, "Was that a tooth?" and grinned. It was imperative that I kept my teeth off him because, according to Aquino's programming instruction, I was subject to death if a tooth was ever felt by anyone. Shaney knew this was my programming and manipulated me with it often. I resumed, satisfying him as though my life depended upon it, because, of course, it did. This is another Aquino programming line Shaney knew and used. When he was gratified, he flopped over and slept. I had been instructed to leave immediately because Shaney absolutely did not want me near him when he slept. Some insiders say he is paranoid, and I began dressing. I was escorted out. In preparation for running bases, for Reagan's hands-on mind control demonstrations, I underwent a great deal of programming by both Aquino and Shaney. Shaney laid the ground rules while Aquino carried out the programming detail and performed the demonstration with me on various military and NASA installations. Reagan wanted the demonstrations to include all programming depicted in there. How-to, films, additional programming instilled since the videos were made, delivery of drugs when applicable, and sex according to Aquino's instruction with whomever slash however many were present at the lecture. Shaney's personal touch to the demonstrations was to have me programmed to vaginally internally electric prod myself with a high voltage cylindrical cattle prod, truly an example of total mind control. I was routinely escorted arm in arm, ounce style, by two agents to Cheney's downstairs office in the Pentagon. Sometimes Bert took me in. Other times Cheney walked me through the building, particularly if we were going to his bunkhouse personal quarters. Cheney's office was equipped with black leather furniture, a huge messy brown desk, massive bookshelves, and an hourglass that he always used in keeping with ounce programming, to assure me that my life was on the line under his command. As a programmed MPD, I had no concept of time. The hourglass was a visible way for me to see my time running out, and actually grasp the concept. The first time I reported in, Shaney shuffled through the clutter on his desk, picked up a paper and began reading, "Number 1. I am not your friend, and I don't want to see you unless I order you to report in. Number 2. Follow the colonel's, Aquino, orders, as it is the chain of command. What he orders you to do, is a command from me, follow it to the letter, as though your life depends upon it, because," he looked up and grinned wickedly, "of course, it does." His cold eyes bore into mine as he walked around to the front of his desk. "Any questions?" I knew he was not my friend, but he already saw me sexually on other occasions. I was perplexed and hesitated. Even though I remained silent, Shaney sensed my hesitation and became enraged. He got up in my face, poked my breastbone with his finger and roared, "Don't even think to question anything I say. There is no question as to what I do, what I think, or what I say, because I am absolutely above questions, especially yours. Your orders are clear. Now get out of here. I have work to do." Throughout the next 3 years, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Aquino used me in the hands-on demonstrations on numerous Army, Navy, Air Force, and NASA installations across the U.S. According to Reagan's plan and Cheney's orders, the top brass privy to the demonstrations ranged from 3 at a time to roughly 20. In closing, Aquino always persuaded them to line up while I was forced to perform sexually on command with each one. The larger groups were physically painful, while the smaller groups often involved unapproved variants from the routine, such as revealing Reagan's bestiality perversions. the wide array of switching my personalities that Aquino incorporated into the demonstrations, and the vast amount of high voltage and torture to which I was subjected, left me exhausted and physically devastated 4 days after each one of Reagan's hands-on mind control demonstrations. 1. My jaw is permanently damaged from Cheney. I have chronic TMJ.